And all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
Let's look to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I have studied, God, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
I want to thank God for the reading of the scripture this morning found in Luke, the 7th chapter. Want to focus in on the 9th verse, Luke, the 7th chapter. And want to focus in on the 9th verse. The Bible says this: when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I want to repeat that verse 9. It says, and when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that went, that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, when you have faith like this. Come on, get the other neighbor. Make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, when you have faith like this. When you have faith like this. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord for his word today. When you have faith like this. In our Christian walk, it is understood that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith has already taken an active role in your life. Matter of fact, you can't be a Christian without having faith. The Bible says in John 3:16, we read it all the time, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that has faith in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our salvation comes through faith. We are justified by faith. Romans 5:1 says this. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand our justification being the judicial act of God being placed upon his Son in place of us, that when we deserve death, he took it on for us. And by us believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have therefore been justified. If we can just break a note real quick, we have to realize this morning that our salvation we did not work for. The grace of God that was given to us and forgiveness and mercy we did not work for or pay for, but it was a gift of God. It was all because of his mercy. Somebody said, because of his mercy. And it is by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that we have received grace, that we have been justified by faith. Our relationship, the relationship that we have with God and the strength of our relationship all has to do with faith. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And in verse 6 it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, and him that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In order to please God, you got to have faith. You got to realize it was God that created the heavens and the earth. You weren't there, but you believe it by faith. In the beginning, you believed that he separated the light from the darkness, and he put the sun in the sky during the day and the moon and the stars at night. You weren't there, but you believe it by faith. You weren't there, but in Genesis, the first chapter, in the 26th verse, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and all the earth. You weren't there, but you have faith that he did it. Our relationship with God is built on faith, believing in the impossible. When everybody says that it can't happen, we stop telling our problems how big, let them dictate to us how big they are, and we start telling our problems and our circumstance how big our God is. How many people know that we serve a great, big, and mighty and wonderful God? But the fact that you clapped this morning, the fact that you celebrated, is an indication that you have faith. Well, in Luke, the 7th chapter, there's this particular type of faith that is celebrated by Christ. We read that 9th verse, and we'll read it again. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. And he said, and he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This morning, we're dealing with the subject of when you have faith like this. And this has to do with the centurion soldier that is in this text. We use him as an example to understand what kind of faith causes miracles to happen. Now, in this text, we have to make something clear because there might be one or two or three or five biblical scholars here and want to make sure that we make things clear real quickly. First of all, this same text is identified in Matthew, the 8th chapter. In Matthew, the 8th chapter. But when you read the text reads a little bit differently. The text says that the centurion himself came to Jesus. But in Luke's recording, in the 7th chapter, it says that he sent elders. In Matthew, it says that the centurion came himself. But Luke's recording says that he sent elders. And there's a good explanation for this. It comes from a Latin term, and I'm going to try to say it. It says, it's quad facimus per alium id ipsum facere judicamor. Hallelujah. I think I did pretty good. Quad facimus per alium id ipsum facere judicamor. And these words mean this. The first part of it, quad facimus, means that which we do. Per alium means through another. Id ipsum, that thing itself. Facere judicamor, what we are said to do. So to say this in the English language and not in tongues, it says that which we do. Through another, that thing itself, we are said to do. And what this is saying is that if you hire an attorney to plead your case, the reality is that you are presenting the case yourself, but the attorney is presenting that case on behalf of you. So therefore, Matthew's recording is not incorrect. It is simply a shorter version saying the centurion brought a case or a concern before Jesus, but Luke was more descriptive in the fact that he described the fact that someone brought the case on his behalf. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Everybody got that right? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand because that's some good stuff. Amen. In our text in Luke, the 7th chapter, there are 5 things that Jesus marvels about this man's faith. There's 5 things that Jesus marvels about concerning this man's faith. The first one is found in the 2nd verse. It says, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. I want to read that one more time. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. The first significance of this centurion's faith is that it was not for himself, but it was for his servant. Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, we have to believe God for somebody else's miracle. Come on, turn to the other neighbor, make sure they understand that. Say, we need to believe God for somebody else's miracle. You know, a lot of times when we go to God, we always want, God, do something for me. You know, there's 3 people I'm interested in helping. Me, myself, and I. Lord, help me. God, bring me through this. God, do a miracle in my life. God, give me a job. Lord, give me a house. Lord, give me some money. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. Almost sound like a rap. Give me. Always interested in me. But have you took out time to think about your neighbor's concern? Did you think about what your neighbor is going through? And a lot of times we get concerned, we get envious, we get jealous when God is blessing our neighbor. But don't you know if God is blessing your neighbor, that simply means God is in your neighborhood. And all you got to do is start blessing God for your neighbor. Start thanking him for the miracle that is going to occur in their life. And soon after a while, by and by, God will come through for your miracle. Somebody ought to put your hands together and bless him this morning. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians, the second chapter and the fourth verse, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You got to look at somebody else's stuff. Be concerned about somebody else other than yourself. Think about your brother's things. Think about your sister's concern. You know, when you read Mark, the second chapter, the Bible says there was a man that was sick with palsy. And this is around the same time in the same city that we're dealing with in Capernaum. And the Bible says there was a man that was sick with palsy. And the Bible says that four men took him to the house where Jesus was. And the Bible says that the house was packed. Couldn't get in, couldn't get a foot in, couldn't get an ear in, couldn't get in the house. But the Bible says these four men went up to the roof, broke up the roof, violated the man's house, and let the man down into where Jesus was. But when you look at the fifth verse of the second chapter of Mark, the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. And later in the second chapter, that man was healed because of their faith. They were believing God for somebody else's miracle. They were believing God for somebody else's breakthrough. All you got to do is just reach over and touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm believing God for your miracle. Come on, put those hands together and bless him. Oh, hallelujah. There are five things that Jesus marvels about this man's faith. The first one is that he wasn't in for himself. The second thing is that he asked God for help. Well, it doesn't seem kind of too strange to us, but it was strange to him. When you look at the third verse of the seventh chapter, it says, when he had heard of Jesus. He didn't have a relationship with him. It says, when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. You have to look at this. A lot of times we think about the centurion and the position that he was in. He wasn't used to asking anybody for anything. You know, I have a buddy of mine, very, very wealthy, very well, got it going on. I mean, he's doing all right. He does not have to worry about where his next meal coming from. Matter of fact, his great-grandchildren probably don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. And there was one day I was talking to him on the phone, and one of the things that he said to me, he said he was having some problems of acquiring some raw materials for his business. And I said, well, have you ever prayed and asked God to help you? And he said to me something very strange. I never had to ask God for anything. I always had what I need. I said, well, maybe it's a good time for you to start asking God for what you need. Many times in our life, we try to handle things on our own. But there are some things that MasterCard can't buy. There are some things that you need to go to God all by yourself. There's a wonderful commercial. See, because you didn't get it, I got to rewind it. There's a wonderful commercial that says that for these things, you can use MasterCard. But these other things are sentimental and cannot be purchased with money. See, there's some things that, yeah, I can take a credit card up, slap it down, and it works real good. But when I have a need in my life, when I need the Lord to bring me out of something, when I need forgiveness of my sins, or when I need my body healed, when I need a lawyer in a courtroom, a doctor in a sick room, a mind regulator and a heart fixer, I call on a name which is above every name, at the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. In John 14:13-14, it says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You got to realize you got to go to God and ask him for the miracle. A lot of times you say, well, God, why didn't you help me? You didn't ask. Well, why didn't you come to see about me? You didn't ask. When is the last time that you talked to him? Matter of fact, some of y'all, he doesn't even know your voice because you haven't talked to him at all. But if you learn to call on the name of the Lord, he will bring you out. Horatio Richmond Palmer said it this way: to him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength he will renew. Just look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strength, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, and he will carry you through. The second thing is that we got to ask for help. Well, what's the third thing? As we continue in the text, the third through the seventh verse, here we have a man that is not only a soldier, but he's also a man of authority over other soldiers. The third significance to this man's faith is that he had to humble himself in a state of vulnerability. He had to humble himself in a state of vulnerability. Let's look at verse 3-7. It says, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto them the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built our synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, then centurions sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Let's unpack this real quickly. In verse 3, he sent elders of the Jews. Now, this is significant. This is significant because this man was from Capernaum. He was a Gentile. But he was not only a Gentile, he was a Roman soldier. He was not only a Roman soldier, but he was over other soldiers. He had it going on. He was the man on campus. He was in charge of things. But you have to understand, he was a Gentile. And if you really look at this text, when we talked about going to God and going to Jesus, one thing that a Gentile didn't do is ask a Jew for anything. So therefore, he's now asking a Jew to heal his servant. And then he's also asking Jewish elders to go ask the man who has the power to heal the servant, to heal his servant. Are you listening? And so the first thing is that he had to humble himself to a state of vulnerability and said that even though that I'm in this position, I'm going to humble myself and go and seek a miracle from God. When you read verse 4 and 5, if you listen to what the elder said, he sent the elders to Jesus, and the elder said this: look, this man is worthy of a miracle. He loves the nation of Israel. He's a Gentile, but he loves the nation of Israel. And he's even sent money to build a synagogue in Capernaum for the Jews that were pleading this case. He's worthy to be helped. This was the elder's presentation to Jesus. But when you listen later, the centurion soldier sent his friends. His friends had a different story. His friends had a different story. He said, look, our friend sent us, and he told us to let you know that he's not even worthy to have you under his roof. He says, don't even bother, just send a word. Just send a word. And we have to understand that we have to humble ourselves. And a lot of times we poke our chests up. I don't need the Lord. I got this thing on my own. But if you put yourself in a state of vulnerability and say, God, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. God, I am insufficient without you. I am nothing without you, but with you I am everything. By myself I'm nothing, but with you I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Lord, the majority is against me, but with you, you are more than the whole world against me. You got to put yourself in a state of vulnerability and realize, yes, you do need the Lord. I know a lot of times we get all proud and say, no, I don't need that Jesus. I don't need nobody taking care of me. Christianity's nothing but a crutch. I want to let you know that you're wrong, that you need the Lord in your life. Yeah, in order to get through this life, you need Jesus. You need somebody to pick you up and turn you around and put your feet on solid ground. When you look at me now, you see me with nice stuff. You look at me now, you see where the Lord brought me from. But if you only see where I was when I was in Tasker Projects, when I was in the orphanage, when I was in foster care, the Lord was with me and he lifted me up and put me into a place where I am. And I realized that if it had not been for the Lord on my side. Oh, come on, somebody ought to bless his name. Excuse me. I'm not done yet, but I started to think about where the Lord brought me from. He brought me from a mighty long way. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Woo! I'm trying to get through this message, but do me a favor, somebody just put your hands together real quick and thank God. You have to realize that you're not where you need to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. He's brought you from a mighty, mighty long way. Woo! If I was a better preacher, I would control myself, but I'm sorry, I just can't. I start thinking about his goodness and all that he's done for me. I realize I shouldn't be up here. I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit, but it's by the grace and mercy of God. Oh, bless his name. Oh, well, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. There's five things. The first is that he wasn't in it for himself. The second, he asked God to help him. He put himself in a state of vulnerability. The fourth thing is found in the 7th and 8th verse. It says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, somebody say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also... Listen to this. For I also am a man set under authority. You're going to get into a second. Just hold on to that real quickly. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He had authority. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. But he was given that authority. You see, if you look at the 8th verse very quickly, that I also is very important. If you have the Bible, you own the Bible that you have underlined, I also. See, he had authority, but he realized that somebody else had some authority. And see, he says, but say it in a word, because yes, I understand that I have authority under the Roman government, but I see that you have authority that doesn't come from the Roman government. It doesn't come from Barack Obama. It doesn't come from Mayor Nutter, but it comes from the Almighty God. And I see that you have authority. You don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it. Yeah, you're listening, but you're not learning. Listen, my mama, when I was 16 years old, I was bigger than my mama. And you might have heard this before, but I was bigger than my mama. I was 6'2", a little skinnier than I am now, but I was bigger. My mom was 5'3". I was 6'2". My mama was 5'3". But my mama had this thing that if I was getting out of line, she just took her finger and flipped it and said, boy, go upstairs. She had this flip thing. And I was bigger. I had some substance in my body. I could take her down, but she had something different than power. She had authority.
You're going to get in a second. See, Jesus has authority. In John 3:35, it says, the Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand. In John 5:30, he says, I come not of my own self to do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. Jesus had been set in authority, and his authority was to heal, to save, to deliver, and set free. And that's why Jesus said it this, when he said the words of Isaiah, that I came to bring the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty to them that were bound, and to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. And that's why he said this scripture is now fulfilled, because he was given authority. And so he said, at thy word, if you just speak a word, you don't have to show up in my house, just speak a word. And you have to realize that if you get the word of God in your life, you don't need the pastor to come see about you. You don't need anybody else to come see about you. All you have to do is turn to the word of God. It says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. By the stripes in his side, I am healed. He is able. He is a balm in Gilead. He's a refuge for my soul. He's my deliverer. He's my burden bearer. He's my axe. And he's my shelter in the time of a storm. All you got to do is go to the word of God and let him speak a word into your life, and your miracle will come to pass. He understood Jesus' word had authority. Well, what's the fifth thing? We got to go. Verse 9 and 10, it says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. The fifth thing is that faith produces results. Faith produces results. When you ask God, you got to believe it with all your heart that God is going to bring it to pass. I know days look difficult, but don't look at what's seen. Look at what's not seen. Believe that God can bring you out. If you ever listen to Jesus, don't ever speak bad about yourself. Jesus always spoke good about himself. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am. And he says, I am that sent me. You have to realize Jesus always spoke good about himself. He says, the Father loveth the Son, and he giveth all power in his hands. Jesus spoke good about himself. You got to expect a miracle in your own life. You got to look at your life and say, I am somebody because God created me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can overcome this addiction. I can overcome this problem. I can overcome my poverty. I can overcome my homelessness. I can overcome my joblessness. But all you got to do is trust in God and then act in faith. You're going to get this in a second, because some people took this message the whole wrong way. Some people think faith is sitting there praying and not getting up and doing anything. And I'm convinced you'll hear me say all the time during productivity time during the week is that I don't care how much you pray. If you don't get your tail off the bench and go fill out a job application, ain't nothing going to happen. And I said it the right way I wanted to say, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. But my grandmama used to say it like this. They said, prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. You have to realize that after you believe God, get up and start believing God for your miracle. You prayed for a job, go find a suit and wear that suit every day and walk around like you got a job. You need to start, if you don't have a house, start looking for a house and then go window shopping for some furniture, believing that God will bring it to pass. Start cleaning up your credit. Start looking for a job. Start putting money away and believing God that he will bring it to pass. Expect the miracle for your life. When you have faith like this, nothing is impossible. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. Come on, put your hands together and praise the Lord for his word. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Let's take a moment just to worship him. Come on. Stand on your feet and magnify to God. Come on. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you for my miracle. In Jesus' name. Come on, just take a moment and worship him right there. Come on and bless his name. Oh, hallelujah. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Come on, let's worship him. Come on. I know we got to get to the Lord's Supper, but somebody needs a miracle in their life. If you have faith like this, your miracle can come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on.